The Torah, in describing in Parashas Metzorah the purification procedure of the Metzorah, teaches us the Torah says that the person who's becoming tahar, the Metzorah who's becoming healed, should bring shtei tziporim chayis tahiris. You have to bring two live birds. And the Sefer Divrei Naftali tries to understand why do we find specifically here this very interesting procedure of bringing two live birds. So he explains that we know that the person, after he's declared to be a Metzora, the Torah Kedoshah says, Baded Yeshim Chutz L'machna Meshavai. He has to be sent out, he has to be quarantined outside of all three camps in which Klal Yisrael find themselves. And the reason is, because Metzora, we know one becomes a Metzora because he spoke Lashon Hara and Rechilas, and he causes rifts between members of Klal Yisrael. So the tshuva that he does is that he has to be sent Mechutz L'machna to show that he's not an individual that could be allowed to stay with other individuals. He only causes his fights. But when it comes to the point, as the Pasuk says, Nirpa hat neged tzaras min hatzarah, he's healed. He brings two birds. The gematria of tzipor is shalom. And he has to learn from Aaron, as we're going to describe and speak about in a few moments, Aaron HaKohen, who represents the individual of Oiv Shalom, Roid of Shalom, that he has to bring, that he represents peace, the peacemaker, the man of peace. So he has to bring two birds. However, he still goes on to explain why does he have to bring two birds. The tzipor is the gematria of Shalom. And yes, the pasuk says regarding Aaron, Oyev Shalom, Veroid of Shalom, but still, why is it a double Shalom? Because he explains when there's a lack of peace amongst Klal Yisrael, it doesn't only affect our relationship with each other. It also reflects the relationship that we have with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when the Metzora finally learns his lesson and he restores peace, not only is peace restored between human beings, between members of Klal Yisrael, but it also represents a restoration of the peace between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which can never be there until he has shalom with his fellow human beings. The Medrash says, Zois tia tairis ha-metzaira, tairis ha-metzi shemra. And the Medrash goes on to use as the example of the person who suffered from tzaras, the story of Gehzi. The story of Gehzi was that Naaman was the general of the Aram army. And he was a very powerful person, and he was afflicted with tzaras. And Chazal explained why was he afflicted with tzaras, because as he captured Eretz Yisrael, he went to war in Eretz Yisrael, he captured a young Jewish girl. And this young Jewish girl who he had taken in captivity gave Naaman's wife advice that Naaman should go visit Elisha HaNavi, and Elisha HaNavi, who lived in the Shomron, will be able to heal him. And he took along with him a tremendous gift to give to Naaman, to give to Elisha for healing him. When Naaman comes to the home of Elisha, Elisha sends to him his servant Gehzi, and he tells him that you should go wash yourself seven times in the Yarden River. And after he did so, he got healed. And in fact, Naaman returns to Elisha and makes a declaration. Hini no yodati, I'm well aware, ke'en alakim b'kol ha'aretz, there's no great God ki'im b'Yisrael. V'achta, and now he asks Elisha again, kach no brocha meis avdacha, please accept a gift from me. V'yoyim Elisha, and Elisha says, chai Hashem ha'shamadati l'fonav, emekach, I make a shvu that I won't take. V'yiftzibah l'kachas, and Naaman tried to convince Elisha to take v'yamon. After Naaman leaves Elisha's home, Gehazi, who was Elisha's assistant, says to himself, "This is terrible. How Elisha refused to take all this from Naaman." So Elisha starts running after Naaman, and he approaches him, and right away Naaman greets him and asks him, "Is everything okay?" And he told him to please give me some of the gift. As soon as Gehazi returns to Elisha, Elisha recognizes what happened, and Elisha curses Naaman, curses Gehazi, and the person says that part of what he told him was "V'tzoras nam tit b'cho b'zarech l'olam," you will become a mitzoras just like Naaman. V'yetzim l'fanav, and the pasuk indeed says that Gehazi leaves Elisha and he was already mitzora kishelig. Mefarshim tried to understand this entire episode. How do we understand how Gehazi was afflicted? Are we to understand that Naaman's tzoras was sort of suspended, and now Elisha took the tzoras from Naaman and placed it on Gehazi? Yes, we could understand that Elisha wanted to curse Gehazi for having done what he thought was a terrible chilul Hashem, and it was a chilul Hashem. But why is it tzoras Naaman? It's not Naaman's tzoras that he's being afflicted with. He's being afflicted with his own tzoras for what he's done. So I saw that the Sefer Siach Yaakov explains what happened over here. Why was Naaman afflicted with tzoras? And Naaman was afflicted for tzoras because he took a Jewish girl in captivity. It caused a tremendous chilul Hashem. What did Elisha do? Elisha, by showing Naaman that he was able to heal him, what he created was a Kiddush Hashem. And the antidote to chilul Hashem is Kiddush Hashem. When Gehazi now goes and takes the money, the gifts from Naaman, what did he create? He created a chilul Hashem. So it's all tzoras Naaman. The tzoras Naaman is here because, as we said earlier, the issue of tzoras is a chilul Hashem, representing whether it's because of our relationship when our relationship with each other is weakened, or our behavior causes a chilul Hashem. So then that's when there's tzoras. And when people create a Kiddush Hashem, that's when the tzoras is removed. Tzoras is an affliction which is directly related to Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem. And with that, perhaps we could explain a very interesting pasuk. The pasuk says in Parashat Tazria, "Adam kiya ba'ar b'sar seisus apachas ha'beheres, v'haya ba'ar b'sar l'negat tzoras." A person who has a tzoras, who could determine that he is a mitzora? Who could determine that he's not a mitzora anymore? V'huv al aron ha'kayin, al echa mibon av ha'kohanim. The Aaron HaKohen, the first Kohen Gadol, or his descendants are the ones to determine. So I saw the men Mefarshim ask, yes, the Torah is teaching us that it's the Kohen who makes the determination, but why is the Pasuk called the Kohanim Echad Mibonav HaKohanim? Kohanim, by definition, are the descendants of Aaron HaKohen. So it should have said, V'huv al Aaron HaKohen, oy el Kohanim, or to the Kohanim in each generation. Why are the Kohanim identified as Echad Mibonav HaKohanim? Furthermore, the Mefarshim make a very interesting observation. We know the Kohanim are those that are appointed to do the avoid in the Beis HaMikdash, to bring the Kabbonis, and to do whatever else is required to be done in the Beis HaMikdash. But why? But there are two exceptions, that what they do is not an avoidah, we're doing something, it's just with their mouths. One is the Birkas Kohanim, that they say, that they do Nesias Kapayim, and one is the, and the other is the determination of the Tumah and the Tahara of Negoyim. What is the lesson here? The lesson here is that and why specifically must there be a Kohen to make this determination? The Gemara often says, if you have a person who's a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but is not a Kohen, his determination that somebody is a Metzayru or not will be meaningless. And you could have a Kohen who's an Amma Oritz, and his determination will be what's counted. What's the Pshat? The Pshat is, as we said before, it's what Aaron HaKohen represents. Aaron HaKohen represents Oyev Shalom V'Roid of Shalom. Aaron HaKohen represents the, what did he use his mouth for? He used his mouth to bring peace amongst people, to bring people closer to Hashem. The lesson of Tzaras is that this person who becomes a Metzora acted in a way of creating rift between people, acted in a way of creating separation between us and Hashem. So it's Aaron HaKohen or Echad Mibayanov. It's not just that that the person who's making the determination is a Kohen. It's Echad Mibayanov, a descendant of Aaron, who follows in the ways of his forefather, Aaron HaKohen. He, and only he, is the one that can make the determination that this person is or isn't a Metzora, because he represents the opposite and the opposite of what Saras is. And therefore, he's the model that the Metzora should say, I did act like this person, and that's why I became a Metzora. And if I will act like the Kohanim, I will no longer be a Metzora. And therefore, the Kohanim are also those that give the Birkas Kohanim, that do the Nesias Kapayim. Only someone who lives that life of Oyev Shalom V'Roidev Shalom is the person who is worthy, and to give bracha, to bring bracha to Klal Yisrael, which of course we know the Birkas Kohanim culminate with the words, V'yaseim l'cha shalom.